I know it's not a double parsha of the Shabbos, but I figured we'll get a jump start on Parshas Nasa, you know? It's like just like you're supposed to long for Mashiach, so you're supposed to look forward to Parshas Nasa. A lot of people are scared of Parshas Nasa, 176 psukim. So we're going to show that we're forward-thinking Jews. We're going to get ahead of Shavuos. Okay, let's start with Bamidbar. So he has one Torah. Degomach and Ephraim has one Torah on Bamidbar, and it's based on the very last pasuk of the parsha. What's the last pasuk of Parshas Bamidbar? Is actually this week was the art site of the author of the Sefer Pardes Yosef. Are you familiar with the Sefer Pardes Yosef? You've heard of it on Chumash? It's a Gevaldik Sefer. So he actually, if I remember correctly, he asks the question, how could a Parsha end on this pasuk? Because we know from sources, I think the Gemara at the end of Bava Metzia, you have to end on a, you have to end on a positive note. You're not allowed to end on something sad, right? We sometimes even we go back and, you know, in certain Svarim of Tanakh, we go back and reread a previous pasuk because we don't want to end on a negative note. So the Pardes Yosef, who I believe it was his yahrzeit this week, asks on this question: how can you end the parsha on such a depressing pasuk? Listen to the pasuk. The pasuk is, it's describing the Shevet Kahas and their avoda of carrying the most holy of holies in the of the Mishkan when they would travel, and the parsha ends v'lo yavo'u liros kivala es hakodesh v'mesu. They should not come lo yavo'u liros. They shouldn't come to see kivala es hakodesh v'mesu. What does kivala mean? When it's inserted, right? Boleya means to swallow up. When what is swallowed up? So they would cover over. Rashi explains that they would place covers, as the pasuk says, they would place covers over the kelim when they traveled. It was put into a container. So therefore, says Rashi, kivala, to be swallowed up in this sense, to be inserted means being covered. Okay, so the kohanim had to be very careful not to look at the kelim of the mission as they were packed up for travel. Again, it's a strange pasuk to end on, because it's saying that, you know, God forbid if they look, they're going to die. You don't want to end the parsha with death. Okay, you can look in the Pardes Yosef to see what he says. It's a good rule to know in general. We don't end on a negative. We try not to end on a negative. Yesh lama haremez bezeh al derech sheshamati min adoni avi zekeni zatzal. So perhaps we can answer, we can explain a remez in this pasuk based on what I heard from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Sheyesh lefamim sheba echar eitzel atzadik kedei lilmod mimaisov vatzadik hu oz bibachinas katnus. Meaning, when you come to a tzaddik, you expect the tzaddik to have a hashpa on you. You want to learn from the tzaddik. You want to be makabel from the tzaddik. What happens if you come to the tzaddik when he's in a state of katnus hamochen? When he's in a state of small-mindedness? Now, what does that mean? Right? Does that mean tzaddikim also have bad days? Sounds like it on a simple level. Tzaddikim also get depressed? Yeah, sometimes tzaddikim are a little bit down. Right? A person has to be careful not to be makabel the hanhaga of a tzaddik when he's being mashpia from a place of katnus hamochin. So what does that mean? V'hu makabel mimenu kach v'lo yada liizdahu rebei. And he ends up being makabel. He sees the way the tzaddik is acting, not realizing that the tzaddik is in a state of katnus hamochin, and he is makabel that, thinking that this is the avod of a tzaddik, right? Take, for example, what we learned once upon a time in Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, where he told us that the Berditchever went for a very long period, a year and a half, where Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, the fire of Berditchev was extinguished. Katnus Hamochin Mamish. The same Berditchever who was literally jumping around the room when he was davening, the same Berditchever that put his hands through the glass to take out his lulav and esrog because he couldn't contain his excitement to even open up the display case that he had stored them in. The same Berditchever who climbed on the Shulchan and was dancing on top of the Megillah that they had to pull it out from under his feet on Purim. The same Berditchever was rolling on the floor, knocking over the Seder table because of his excitement for matzah. That same Berditchever went through a period of coldness for a year and a half. Now, I'm sure the Berditchever's, you know, coldness was not as cold as our coldness. But compared to, you know, the Berditchever, when he was the Berditchever on fire, it looked very different. So if you saw the Berditchever, if you went to learn from the tzaddik when he was going through his period of katnus, So you would have thought, oh, this is how a tzaddik acts. A tzaddik is supposed to act this way. You would have realized that this is the worst, this is the most difficult tikkun of his life. So a person has to be careful not to learn from the tzaddik when he's in a state of katnis amochim.
Does anyone know the ma'isa with Ramatel in that prediction?
No, what's the ma'isa? Oh, yeah. Say it over. I do know it, but say.
It's not like...
No, say it. It's a line. Say the line.
Yeah, but he said, somebody said to him that the Berdichva went through close to 2 years of like a darkness or a depression or whatever it is, or he couldn't learn well and this and that. So they said to Ramatel, one of the chavers said to him, did you ever have an experience like that? So he said, mine was much longer than 2 years.
Yeah. Tzaddikim go through hard periods. Again, whatever that means, Lafi Madreig also. You know, we can make it more human or we can make it more lofty, and it's probably both. It's probably a little bit of both. Now, he's not talking about Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, I don't think. I'm not sure, though. I would assume not. He's probably talking about Rav Nachman Hardunker, who he quotes on other occasions. So anyways, one of the tzaddikim, someone came to Rav Nachman, a certain Rav Nachman.
How would it be Zitzal if it was Rav Nachman?
Yeah, right. If it's Azal, then for sure, right.
Unless the publisher.
No, for sure. You're right. You're totally right. So he came to one of the tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachman. He saw that he was drinking coffee while wearing his talis and tefillin. Okay? Anyone want to admit to have ever done that? You ever do that? I have rabbeim who do that sometimes. I've been known to take a sip on occasion. Okay? But is that like a good thing or not a good thing? Is that like an avoda? Like, oh, your dafka is supposed to like be finishing your morning coffee with your talis and tefillin on. Now you see a lot of people do that. You see a lot of chassidim, you know. Some people walk around the base medrash all day with a cup of coffee in their hand. Mamish taking drinks in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, right? So someone saw Rabbi Nachman, not Rabbi Nachman Breslov, but someone saw a certain tzaddik Rabbi Nachman who was drinking coffee with talis and tefillin. So he said, oh, this is what a tzaddik does. You're supposed to. It's a heiliga thing. The Berdichever was malamed zchus on the guy who was changing his wagon wheel, wearing his talis and tefillin. It's not a dafka. There's no chiyuv to drink coffee while you're wearing your talis and tefillin. We can make a heter for it, maybe. But again, he saw by the tzaddik, a hanhag of the tzaddik when he was at a low point, and this person thought this was a hanhag of a tzaddik. Yeah, Rabbi Yosef, let's hear. What do you want to say?
It can't be Rabbi Nachman Breslover because in Sichas Harani has a piece about drinking coffee before.
Right. Nachan. Okay, good. So someone came.
That might be the point that he caught him in the moment.
Yeah, he caught him. Right.
Nachman knew that he didn't do. Right. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, but.
By the way, you have to think about this piece also. I meant to pull it out, and I don't remember which parsha it's in. In the Noam Elimelech, there's that famous Zvart in the Noam Elimelech about not imitating the holy activities of the tzaddik. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You know where that piece is? There's a piece in Noam Elimelech where he says, where he criticizes, it's very clear on a pasuk. I don't remember which pasuk it's on. But he says very clearly that there's a danger of a person, like, you know, doing Rebisha Tnuos, and trying to do Rebbe's things when you're not a big Rebbe. And that's a Rebbe who's begadlus hamochen, right? I mean, a Rebbe who's mamish holding in a Rebbe's place, and now you go and you see, oh, I see how the Rebbe eats his fish on Shabbos, so now I start doing Rebbe's things when I'm, you know, when I'm eating my fish on Shabbos. You're not a big Rebbe, you're a regular Yid, which is also a gvaldik madrega, right? So you have to be careful not to adopt the lofty practices of the tzaddik, if it's not according to your madrega. But you also have to know how to understand when a tzaddik himself is in a state of katnus hamochin, and not to learn from his ways, thinking that, oh, this is a lecharchila. No, the tzaddik is acting this way. He's drinking his coffee with his talis and tefillin because he's going through a tough time, whatever that means. V'zeh hara. So that's the pshat in our pasuk. V'lo yavau liros. Be careful what you see. Again, the pasuk pshat in the pasuk was shevet kahas. Be careful not to see the kalim of the mishkan as they're being packed up. But we were learning it, B'derech Remez, is lo yavo liros, be careful. Be careful of what you see. Hainu b'shvil liros es maisa v'lekablam tekaf, kivala es hakodesh. be careful what you adopt and what you incorporate, what you makabel and what you bring into your behaviors. Kivala es hakodesh. What does that mean? Hainu sheyesh lefamim shehu bimei hakatnus v'nivla oz hakedusha bo. Right? There are times when the kedusha is kivala. Kivala, we said, is lashon boleh, is swallowed up. So you have a situation where the tzaddik's avoda is consumed, is being swallowed, is suppressed, is not at full blessed. And you see that, and you want to learn from that. Ulakach mesu, right? The tzaddik is in a state of katnus, and katnus on a certain level, anytime a person is not living on their optimal madrega, so on a certain level we call that misa, right? Just like we learned yesterday in Or Gedalia, that shichacha, when you forget Torah and you disconnect from Hashem, so that's a form of death. So too, if a person's living below their madrega, that's also a form of misa. Hainu shenaflu madregasam. So you come to the tzaddik, you're all excited to makalo from the tzaddik, and the tzaddik's going through a period of katnus right now. And he's in a state of misa, so to speak. His kedusha has been kavala sakodesh. It's been covered over, right? As Rashi said, kavala means that it's been covered. It's been contained. And you think like, wow, I'm going to start doing like the tzaddik. Lo yavo lekabelze. So be careful to be makabel such a thing. Ki im shiyira zman hagadlus v'yakabel v'menu. Rather, look for the tzaddik, try to find the tzaddik. And again, you have to be a good chassid to be able to identify it. But try to understand that tzaddikim are also bekatnas hamochen. And don't learn from the tzaddik, so to speak, in his low moments. Try to learn from the tzaddik, to take from the tzaddik, to draw from the hashpah of the tzaddik in his period of godless. V'havein zeh. Now listen to this last line. Look at this. Understand this well. Take this message to heart. Understand it well. Why? Ki kotzer das hashomim v'lo evinu. Because the mind of the listeners is often small in this regard, not able to absorb such an idea, not able to distinguish between a tzaddik who's in katnas hamochen or godless hamochen. V'yesh b'zeh dvarim tovim, and there are very good things that I'm telling you here. There's important lessons to be learned here. V'yesh b'zeh dvarim tovim. V'im yirtza Hashem kishi yizake Hashem osi ve'ayeh bari adif afaresh. He says, if Hashem will help me to have a refuah and to be more healthy, then I will try to explain it. So I don't know if that means that this piece is autobiographical, right? I don't know if you open up the Dago Machaneh to Parshas Bamidbar. Now again, I don't know exactly how and when he wrote the Sefer, right? But you open Parshas Bamidbar and there's one piece. So you look at a Sefer and you say, wow, one piece of Torah. It must be that he put like all of his kochos into this one piece of Torah. This is probably the greatest piece in all the Parshas because he only wrote one piece. So it's probably the highest piece in the whole Sefer. Or maybe not. Maybe the Rebbe was going through a tough time and didn't have too many chidushim to share on Parshas Bamidbar. And that's why he signs off here, Amir Tzashem, when I'm healthier, I'll try to share more on this topic. Or maybe what I'm saying is totally wrong in both directions. Right? And for whatever other reason, he didn't write a lot of Torah on Parshas Bamidbar. So again, I don't know if this is like an autobiographical piece that he's saying, I myself am in a state of katnas hamochen, and that's why, you know, that's why I can only write so much right now. But again, it's an important yisod, and it takes a lot of paying close attention to understand, right? To understand what messages to absorb from the tzaddikim, and what's not appropriate for me. Again, both in terms of, like I told you, from the Noam Elimelech of not mimicking the tzaddik and imitating the tzaddik on his loftiest levels that are not shayach to you, but also being careful not to learn from the katnos hamochen, the moments where the tzaddik is not expressing himself the way he wants to, that he's in a state of misa, that his kedusha has been covered over. Okay, it's a deep idea. Okay, Chava, that's
sort of... Can I ask an important question?
Yeah, please.
I think it's important for the island.
Let's hear.
From a Talmudim perspective, then, if we're going to say that sometimes the Eitzah, right, like you could say sometimes the hanhaga of a tzaddik is clouded. It could be sometimes the eitz of a tzaddik is clouded also. And then right. The kal v'chomer, someone who's not necessarily a tzaddik, we're saying, but just a talmud chacham who you would go to as a rav for an eitz or whatever. So obviously, I think you're equipped to answer this. But like from our perspective, you know, when we're going to our rebbeim and stuff like that for asking questions and making serious life decisions, whether it be about shidduchim, which is the most important decision in your life, or whether it be about your job or your career or moving or having kids or whatever it may be, how could we know, you know,
right.
what to accept and what not, what's clouded judgment and what's not clouded judgment? Because mm-hmm. if a rav and a rebbeim are human too, makes a mistake on right. an eitz like this, it could be really deadly in some ways.
Right. It's very hard. It's a very hard question. How do I know what to right? How do I know when to receive, when not to receive? How do I know if the tzaddik is giving over, is being mashpia from a place of clarity, from a place of godless? Maybe the tzaddik is, again, lefi madrigaso, is having a hashpa on me from his place of katlus, right? It's a very hard question to answer, and I don't know. I mean, I can tell you stories of people who went to tzaddikim and asked their advice, and followed it very, very precisely, and I think it was damaging for them, right? Had they gone to a different tzaddik and gotten a different advice? So I don't know. The whole sugya of being shoal eitza in general is a very complicated sugya. But again, even more so when I'm dealing with tzaddikim, and to know what I'm supposed to makal from the tzaddik and what's not appropriate for me, right? Either because it's too lofty or it's coming from a place where the tzaddik, the tzaddik is in a state of katanus and I'm being makabel that. I don't know. It's a hard question to answer. I will say practically that it's important to find people who know you and you can trust. And as Rav Shechter always says, in like a halachic sense, you need people who have on the same hashkafic wavelength as you. So I remember Weinberger once told the story to a small group of Rebbeim. We had a little gathering on the sixth floor of Gluck. And Weinberger was talking to us. And he told the story about a certain young woman who had gone through a whole process of becoming a balas tshuva. And she had aspirations to either go to medical school or nursing school. She wanted to do something in the medical profession. And somehow, there was some sheiches to a very big gadol, who I will not name, although I know who it is. I know who it was. He's no longer alive. And this gadol was asked about it, and he told her, no, that's like totally not for you. And it was her life dream, and she was very crushed by that. And in the end, there was some whole communication, and Weinberger ended up telling her, no, don't listen to that, do the opposite. And then he got in touch with this gadol and kind of explained the bigger picture of this girl's situation, which this gadol didn't really understand the nuance of. And then he retracted his position on it, right? But it was a terrible mistake in the sense that the Eitza came from the wrong place. Again, it wasn't a gadol bekatnus hamochin, but it was a gadol maybe begadlus hamochin in a way that was, too far beyond the madreg of this young woman. So, I don't know. It's a complicated question, again, especially when you're dealing more, esoterically with being mekabel the hanhaga or the hashpa of a tzaddik from a place of godless or a place of cotless. I'm not sure. I don't know. But just because the tzaddik drinks a coffee with his talis and tefillin doesn't mean that you can. Doesn't mean that you can't, but it doesn't mean that you can. Okay. Chaver, let's go weiter. Let's take a look a little bit at Parshas Naso. Uveshemos tifkudu es klei mishmeres masam. Uveshemos tifkudu, by their names they... Whoa, sorry, screen jumped. By their names they shall be assigned the kalim that they are in charge of carrying. Right? A lot of carrying. Shevet Levi, Kahas, and Gershon, and Merari, they're each assigned different parts of the transportation, the responsibility for the Mishkan. So by Merari, specifically by Merari, it says this Lashon of Uveshemos Tifkadu as Klei Mishmeres Masam. Yesh Lahayr Bezeh Hashinoi Shebekulam Lo Namar Zeh Kiyim Bebnei Merari. Why Dafka by Merari, who was in charge of carrying which part of the Mishkan? They were in charge of carrying the Krushim and the Amudim and the Adonim. They were doing the heavy lifting. They're the third one on the list. At the end of this week's Parsha Bamidbar, we have Kahas. Next week we learn about Gershon and Merari. We have a count of its members and the assignment of their Avoda. And Merari was responsible for carrying the heaviest stuff, for having the heaviest parts of the Mishkan. So the question is, why Dafka by Merari does it say Uveshemos Tifkadu as Klei Mishmeres Masam? By name they shall be assigned their carrying. We don't find that by Kahas or by Gershon. V'yesh lefarish b'zeh ha'tam l'fi aniyaz da'iti. One of the amazing things that we know about the Aron, the Gemara tells us in Sota, that the Aron carried those who carried it. It's such an important Maimra Chazal. I'm so glad, actually, we're doing this before Shavuos. You know why? Because the notion that the Torah carries you, we think we carry the Torah sometimes. And we do, on a certain level we do. But the Torah carries us. The Torah carries us. To whatever degree we, you know, give of ourselves, in quotes, for the Torah carries us. You get much more in return than you give. In the Medrash on Rus, it says that when a person gives tzedakah, so the person who's giving the tzedakah actually is doing the taking. Because they get much more by giving tzedakah, right, than the ani gets by receiving the tzedakah. That's why it says, vayikhu li truma, right? Take from me truma. When you give donations to the Mishkan, it says, take truma. I mean, take truma. Give truma. No, you're getting much more out of it than you're giving. So when a person sits and schwitzes over a blat gemara, and you use your kochos hanefesh, and your kochos haguf, and use your mental energy to try to crack a tosos, even though it's a lot to get up the energy to really work through a tosos and to care about the shakla v'tari of the gemara, or to learn a nitty-gritty detail of a halacha and a Mishnah Berurah, whatever it is, when a person puts his efforts, or to daven with kavana, when you put your effort into a life of Torah and mitzvahs, you feel like, I'm giving so much of myself. In truth, the Torah is carrying you much more than you're carrying it. That's this idea. The Aron was nasa es nosav. The Aron carried those who carried it, which was pretty, it's just a pretty cool image also, you know. They would grab onto the poles of the Aron, and the Aron would, you know, would lift off, and they would just hold on, and they would go for a ride. The Aron carried them. V'hainu legoda ha'or haruchani shahaya bo. Because of the great spiritual energy, the light, the spiritual light that was contained within it, when you're connected to Ruchnius, by the way, Chavra, and it's an important yesod that emerges from this piece, you become light. You become a light person. One of the first halachos, right? It's not exactly quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid in the first halacha. But if you look in the Torah, or if you look in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they quote from another Sefer Halacha. They start halacha with this. They start with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that a person should be what? A person should be the character traits of different animals. You should be, right, Yizgaber Ka'ari. Again, it's alluded to in the first Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. But if you look in the Torah, and if you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it quotes the whole Mishnah. You should be, right, Yizgaber Ka'ari, jump up like a lion, you should have the strength of a lion. You should be Oz Kanamer, you should be bold like a leopard. What other animals? You should be Kal Kanesher. You should be light like an eagle. What does it mean to be light like an eagle in Avodas Hashem? What does it mean? You'll say it means to be fast? No, because you're supposed to be Ratz Ketzvi. You're supposed to be fast like a deer. So what is light? What does it mean to be light in Avodas Hashem? To be light in Avodas Hashem means not to feel so heavy and schleppy when it comes to Avodas Hashem. That when I have Torah and Mitzvah, I feel the Torah is carrying me. I'm hovering. I'm mamish, you know. I'm a tefach off the ground, like they said about certain tzaddikim, right? He was a tefach higher than the world. He's floating, mamish. The Aron was nosas nosav. The Aron literally carried those who carried it, because when you're dealing with ruchnius, when you're dealing with spiritual things, it's light. It carries a person. Va'af b'davar gashmi lo hayicholim lispol l'seisoso. So he says, you'll tell me the Aron was a physical object, right? But when it comes to a davar gashmi, lo hayu cholam lispo l'seiso, so even physical things cannot be carried, or could not be carried by the Mishkan, if not for its ruchnius, right? So what do you mean, this concept of the Aron carried those who carried it? So you're saying, well, yeah, spiritual things, when you attach yourself to spiritual things, it carries you, it makes you light. Yeah, but the Aron was a physical thing. True. But it was the ruchnius of the Aron that carried it. Right? The same way that your body is heavy, but your neshama is light. And therefore what? Who was doing the heaviest lifting of the Mishkan? Which family of Levi? The answer is Merari. As I told you, Merari was the one who was carrying the Kerashim and the Amudim, the pillars and the beams and the sockets of the Mishkan, the heaviest parts of the Mishkan, as Rashi brings in Bamidbar Perek Zayin Pasuk Zayin. So therefore, what does it say by Merari? By Merari, you're trying to figure out how on earth did they have the physical strength to carry this? And the answer is they tapped into the Ruchnius. They tapped into the Ruchnius of the Kalim. Yeah, if you need me to, sure.
Yeah, because we all four of us have
no problem. 10:51. You got it. So how did they carry how did they carry such heavy things? I just got an ultimatum from Zahava. We have till 11. So therefore, when it comes to when it comes to the family of Merari, of Shevet Levi, Hinei b'nei Merari hayamah masa shebekulam. What does that mean? It means the b'nei Merari had the heaviest carrying, the masa. Masa means the burden, the biggest burden. But the heaviest burden. Burden just means, heavy lifting. Val kein siva Hashem yisvach. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded them, because they had so much to carry, what does the pasuk say? Uveshemos tifkudu as clay mishmeres masa'am. How on earth were they going to have the strength? They were very physically strong. They had this brute strength to carry such heavy parts of the Mishkan in the hot desert. No, however, the answer is uveshemos tifkudu as clay mishmeres masa'am. That by tifkudu, well, let's go tifkudu, and then we'll go back to the word shemos. Tifkudu, hu lashon chibur veyichud. Tifkudu is a lashon of attachment, right? As the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, chayiv adam lifkod. It means a man has an obligation, a responsibility to be intimate with his wife before he travels on business. Obviously, lifkod in that context means what? Intimacy, chibur, yichud, connection. So therefore, how did the family of Merari carry such heavy parts of the Mishkan? The answer is uveshemos tifkedu. They attach themselves to what? To the shemos. What does that mean, to the shemos? V'hainu, sheyachaber osam el hashemos. They attach themselves to the names. What does it mean, the names? So you could say, obviously, it means, Kabbalistic names, but more simple than that, what is a name? We've said a million and one times, a name is the essence of something. So if my body is just a shell, my name is synonymous, so to speak, with my neshama. Like I told you many times from the Baal Shem Tov, the word neshama, the middle two letters, are shame. So by attaching themselves to the inner ruchnias of the kalim, that wooden beam that they were schlepping, those heavy krushim and amudim and adonim, the heavy lifting became very light. It wasn't just the aron that was nasa es nosav. The aron is the lightest, the easiest thing to carry. But even the krushim, even a pillar or a beam, if you tap into the ruchnius of it, so then it becomes light as well. So therefore, uveshemos tifkedu, by attaching themselves to the shemos, hainu haruchnius shebekli, mishmeres masam, ayidei zeh yuchlu lispol, that gave them the ability to bear, to carry the heavyweights. Of course, you can't read a piece like this without reminding ourselves of the story of the Baal Tanya at the end of his life. The Baal Tanya at the end of his life was looking at the beams, the pillars of his own home, the wooden beams of his home. And the Baal Tanya said to his relatives who were gathered there, maybe his grandson, different nuschos, exactly what he said. According to one nusach I read recently, the nusach was, he says, I don't see the beams anymore, I just see the ruchnias of it. The girsa that I originally heard, I think years ago from Rav Weinberger, is that I don't see the beams anymore, but I just see letters. Because we know that everything in the world is made up of letters, right? The osios of creation. But that's what it means. Shevet Merari needed sort of this extra chizuk. How are we going to carry such heavy things? The answer is, it's not heavy if you tap into the ruchnias of it. However, I think this is such an important yesod. Because there's always going to be parts of Yiddishkeit which are easier to schlep around. And there's going to be parts that are heavier. Right? There's parts that you connect to, and you're always kal kanesher when you do certain types of avodas Hashem. But there's other types of avoda that can become sometimes very, very heavy. And therefore, as long as we remind ourselves to connect to the ruchnias shabo, so then it becomes much lighter. It becomes much easier for a person to carry. Okay? Okay. Let's see. What do we have time for? What time is it? All right, let's do two more little pieces. We'll skip the next piece. Maybe we'll do another Nasoshir. Maybe we'll do another Nasoshir, next week or something. Let's jump ahead to, we need a lot of blessing in our life. Let's jump to the Pesukim of Birchas Kohanim in Parshas Naso. Okay, it says by Birchas Kohanim. Actually, we'll do the piece right before that first. Let's do V'ish es Kedoshov Lo Yihiyah, or Lo Yihiyu. My sefer actually says Lo Yihiyah. It's actually Lo Yihiyu, like it says on the screen. Okay, what's this pasuk talking about? It's talking about a person who's giving gifts to the. It's in Parakei Pasuk Yud. It's talking about a person who's giving gifts to the kohen, and the pasuk says V'ish es kadoshav Lo Yihiyu. Right, a person in relation to his holy things, to his trumos and maestros that he's separating to give to the kohanim and to give to the Levi, Lo Yihiyu, they shall be for him. So what does that mean, they shall be for him? Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is that the owner has the right to decide which kohen he wants to give it to. So a kohen can't come and take truma by force and say, I want that truma. No. There's something that we call, Rashi refers to it, it's something we have in many places in the Gemara, that's called the Tovas Hana. The Tovas Hana means that the owner has the pleasure of giving it to whoever he wants. So if he has a neighbor who's a kohen who he's very friendly with, right? The Tovas Hana is Labailim, Chazal say. Ish es kadashav lo yiyu. It's not that he keeps the truma, it's not his, he's going to give it to the kohen. But it's his in the sense that he has rights to decide which kohen he wants to give it to. Another pshat Rashi says, based on the Medrash, is that v'ish es kadashav lo yiyu. If God forbid a person keeps his truma and doesn't give it out, then lo yiyu, that's the only thing that he'll have. Because his fields will be cursed and it'll stop producing. But if he gives to the kohen, then he'll have great success. If ish as kadashav, he gives it out properly, then he'll be zochet to have a lot of blessing. That's what Rashi says, b'derech drush. Okay? But says the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, ish as kadashav lo yiyu, yesh lomar b'zeh al derech remes, v'nakdim ha-pasuk, melei ascha v'dimacha lo se'acher. We know the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, with regard to bikurim, which of course is what we bring on Shavuos. We start bringing the new fruits on Shavuos. Meleascha v'dimacha lo sa'acher. Meleascha hainu bikurim. The bikurim should not be delayed, the pasuk says. Make sure you give your the various gifts that you're supposed to give from your produce in the proper time. Okay. But now, b'derech pnimius, we can explain. What are bikurim? Not just first fruits, but rachis. What is your rachis? What is your rachis? Your rosh. Your rachis. Yisrael is osios li rosh, making sure your mind is in the right place. So says the pasuk, malei ascha v'dimacha lo sa'acher. Make sure your bikurim, lo sa'acher, are not what? Are not delayed. What does that mean, not delayed? V'hu meramiz al hamochin, the thoughts of your mind, your spiritual energy, right? Your thoughts. Kepshuto. Lo sa'acher. Lo sa'acher means lashon zaris. Don't allow your mochin to be zar. Shelo yihyeh la'acher. Don't let it be given to someone else. In other words, don't give away your mind, your precious mind and your precious soul. Don't give it away to the sitra acher. And in the same way, you could say pshat in our pasuk here. V'zehu gam kein ish es kadashav lo yihyeh. What is your kadashav? Kodesh is a reference to your mind, your mochin. Hainu ha-mochin shenikr b'shem kodesh lo yihyeh. Hainu Sheyira sheyeh lo la'atzmo. Make sure you keep your mind for yourself. Ish es kadoshav lo yiyu. Keep it for yourself. Don't give away your holiest part. Don't give away your mind. Don't give away your emotions to the sitra acher, to the yitzhara. V'lo chas v'shalom masur biyadzar. Don't give them over, God forbid, to the sitra acher. Okay, chaver, let's do one more. We'll end with a bracha. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha yer Hashem panav elecha v'ikunecha. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, Hashem should shine His countenance upon you, v'ichu neka, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you chen. Tzarech lahavin. Hamameila yadinan kishiyayir Hashem panav elav, bevada yelo chen. A person who has HaKadosh Baruch Hu shining the light of Hashem upon him, who's basking in the glow of Hashem, right, is obviously going to have chen. So why do I need to say ya'er Hashem panav elecha? Hashem should place his shine upon you. Hashem should, shine upon you, illuminate your face. His countenance should light up your face, so to speak. He should shine His countenance upon you. And then, vichunecha. And then Hashem should also give you chen. If Hashem is shining His face upon you, then you're going to have chen. You don't need the additional bracha of chen. Memeila, if you're er Hashem panav elecha, then you have chen. So, my shuv habracha vichunecha. So, what is this bracha? Avichuneka. It seems to be automatic if Hashem is shining upon you that you have chen. But it's not always true. And this is something to daven over. V'yesh lomar al derech d'isav or Rechaim HaKadosh. Rechaim HaKadosh says, V'yitin Hashem eschino be'enei sar beis hasawar. Yosef HaTzadik had such a upon him. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to place the chayin, your chayin, in the eyes of the sar beis hasawar. In other words, I'm going to cause Potiphar to think you're a good guy. What do you mean? Yosef is a good guy. Why does Hashem need to cause Potiphar to like Yosef? He's mamash a great guy. The answer is, Hainu, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, Ki achein shu shor al adam hu chesed elyon v'kedusha elyona. You could be a great guy, and you could be a person who even has chein, however you define that term, but we all know what it looks like. You meet a person, they have a certain chein, you connect them in a certain way. But even a person of tremendous chein, sometimes someone's not on the receiving end of that chein. You could be a person who's a baal chein, but you're interacting with someone who's just not, doesn't have a kli to be makabel your chein. So Yosef is the type of person who should be so easy to connect to find favorable. And yet, Yosef needed tziata d'shmaya, that Potiphar, that the sar beis hasoar, that the head of the jail, should be able to look at him favorably. Look at the words again. The fact that there's a chein upon a person is a chesed elyon, the kedusha elyona. There are some people who can't receive that chein, right? Both in terms of the person being a baal chein, but also even one of chein, you sometimes interact with others who are not able to makabel your chein. Right? Sometimes that person sees you very much the opposite. And therefore, Hashem gave a bracha to Yosef, who was a baal chein, that his chein should be placed upon the sar beis hasoar, that the sar beis hasoar should find you favorable. Hainu shehutzrach HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishros al sar hanizkar le'el. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to, so to speak, make the sar beis hasoar receptive, sheyuchal lekabel chino shel Yosef, to be able to receive the chein of Yosef. Ad kan, the words of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and he says, Ayin Sham, Bitzachos Lashona, look there at his very fine and delicate words. Vizayish Lomar Gam Kain Kan HaPerush. Chevra, the bracha that we get from the Kohanim is Ya'er Hashem Panavelecha. Ya'er Hashem Panavelecha means that Hashem should make you shine. But that's only going to allow you to shine, you know, Ben Adam La'atzmo. Vichuneka is an additional bracha. You need the additional bracha. Vichuneka means Hainu Sheyitin Hashem. That people should appreciate your chein. You could be a baal chein, but the people around you don't appreciate you for who you are. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this double bracha. Number one, that you should be the type of person who's glowing, who's mamish radiating, you know, kedusha and elokus in the world. But also, and it's an additional bracha, and it's mamish takes a chesed elyon and siyata d'shmaya and kedusha elyona, that people should be receptive to your chayim, right? That people should see you in a good way. That's a big it's a big bracha not to be taken for granted. And it's true, there are people who have tremendous chayim, and for whatever reason, sometimes it just doesn't shtim with a certain person who they interact with. So we should be zocha to this double blessing of the Kohanim. Okay, there's more to see on Parshas Nasa. Mirtz Hashem, maybe next week we'll do a short shiur and fill in a couple of pieces. But this was good Torah from our Rebbe. Okay, we thank the Dagamach and Ephraim for teaching us, and hope to see the Chevra later. Have a great day.